way. And it seemed like a really simple shift that happened, but it began to change the fast food industry, where essentially you could walk in and the customer was now king. And so you could go in and you could custom order things. And they came up with this little jingle. It was, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. Right? And so it began to change, and society was different because of it. So suddenly what would happen is you could walk in and you could have everything customized to exactly the way that you want it. You don't want pickles? That's all right at Burger King. You're a mustard person? That's okay at Burger King. You could have it your way, and all of a sudden you're in charge. And now here we are almost 50 years later, and the customer is king. But what's interesting about this, and what sociologists will tell us, is that this was such a small thing that happened at a restaurant, but it literally began to change not just the restaurant industry, but culture as a whole, because now it's about me, and it's about what I want, and it's about the way that I want it. I want to have it my way. And tragically, what happened is that this kind of consumer mindset bled over into the local church. And if you notice, you can have conversations with people, and this is specifically in the United States, but you can have conversations with people and you hear people say and use language like, you know, I'm just church shopping. I'm church shopping. And even the language that we use to describe this is so interesting, that I'm shopping. I can't find the right church that meets all of my needs. Like, I've been to 28 churches, and I can't find one that will let me have it my way. And here's the problem with this, is that the Church of Jesus has not, nor will ever be, a dispenser of spiritual goods and services. Jesus did not intend his church to be a spiritual Burger King. Anytime we talk about the purpose of the church, and any time we talk about the posture of the church, we always have to go back to the root and look at, how did Jesus live his life? And so I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 13. And it's one of the most powerful images that we have in the New Testament. And I just want to read a portion of it to you. The setting is right before Passover. It's Thursday night. Jesus is in the upper room with his closest followers, his 12 disciples, and Jesus knows that he's about to give his life. And so he's reclining at this table. He knows that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus, in this moment, he looks around and he sees proud hearts and dirty feet. And this is what the story says. It says, so he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And just a cultural highlight here is that it was customary, if you were to go into a house of somebody else, a host, you would get your feet washed. It was kind of like, hey, can I take your coat? Like, it was an arid climate. Your feet were dirty. You were wearing sandals. And so it was customary to have your feet washed. But what would have been so culturally revolutionary is that the host would never wash the feet. The person that would be washing the feet was the lowest of slaves. It would have been the most menial, self-abasing task available. Like, only the lowest of slave would wash the feet. And yet here we have Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of the world. And he bends down and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now, don't miss the teaching point here. Jesus said this. It said, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right in doing so, because that's who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. That I have set you an example, listen to this, that you should do as I have done for you. What's our example? Jesus is here and he is serving his disciples in the most radical way possible. Let me give you another example here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it says, your attitude should be the very same as that of Christ. You're wondering what your attitude, what your posture should be. You look at Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What's his example? What's his attitude? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He had everything at his disposal, but he allowed himself to be emptied of that so that he could serve, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Here's what's important for us to understand. That if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you're an apprentice of Jesus, that means the means by which we accomplish the mission of Jesus is serving like Jesus. That serving is an action that reflects the identity of who we are as followers of Jesus. It's what we do because it's who we are, that we as followers of Jesus are servants, and so as a posture and an overflow of that, we serve people. Here's the truth, and here's the one thing that I want to drive home this morning, that in light of the example of Jesus, that in light of the purpose of the church, here's the point, if you're taking notes, is that we are not called to be consumers. We are called to be contributors. That we are not called to be consumers, we are called to be contributors. And the reason that I use the word consumer is because consumeristic mindset has pervaded every aspect of society. And in everywhere we go, and even in our relationships, we're always thinking, what can I get out of this? How can I commoditize this and benefit from this? But as followers of Jesus, our posture is not, what can I get out of this? How can I commoditize this? It's how can I serve? How can I give to this? How can I benefit the people that are around? See, we're not called to be consumers. We're called to be contributors. You know, the truth is, and the reality is that in a way, we're all consumers of God. Like, we are all recipients and benefits of God's grace. And we're all beneficiaries of God's goodness. And we all are recipients of God's blessings in our life. But God's goodness and his grace and his blessings are never designed to stay with us. They're always designed to flow through us. And so we are not called to be consumers. We are called to be contributors. That we receive God's goodness. We receive his grace. We receive his blessing. And from that place, we take a posture of service. If you take a look at your notes, you've got a continuum there that's written just 1 through 10. And the question that I'm asking everybody to kind of wrestle with this morning is in this season, how is Jesus calling you to contribute? That in this season of your life, not last season, not a future season, but in this season of your life, how is Jesus calling you to contribute? Where is he calling you to go? And the reality is that for some of us, the fact that you're here this morning is just amazing. Like the fact that you're here this morning, you should feel and experience the pleasure of God on your life, because for many of us, getting out of bed is a hurdle in the morning. Like if we just had our default, we would stay in bed all day long. And the fact that you decided to come here, you should just feel the presence and the pleasure of God in your life, because he is so proud of you. Some of you on the weekends, you've got so many demands on your time, and some of you've got kids and sports, and the fact that you're here and putting Jesus first in your life, you should feel the pleasure and the blessing of God on your life. But there are others of us that we have been in this place, and God is calling us to move forward, that instead of just being recipients of God's blessing and recipients of God's grace and his goodness, that God is calling us to move forward. For some of you, you've been in that place, and you know that Jesus is calling you to move. Maybe for you, you got a write-up in the golf cart by somebody that was serving you, and you dropped off your kids to people that were serving your family, and you got a cup of coffee and a pastry that was prepared by somebody with you in mind to serve you, and you walked in and you were handed a bulletin by somebody that was welcoming you and serving you. And you're sitting in a chair that you didn't pay for in a building that you didn't contribute to. And you realize in this moment that God is calling me to move forward. That for a season of time, it's been okay, but God is calling me to move forward in my level of contribution. And right now, you'd say, you know, maybe right now I'm a 2, but Jesus is calling me to move forward. For some of you, you've served in a community event that we do about once every 2 months or so, or you contribute now and then again, and you say, you know, I know Jesus is calling me to move forward from this place. For some of you, though, and we've got a handful of people that are like this, man, right now, in this season of your life, you're a 7, you're an 8, you're a 9. Like, you're a Sarah Machikian. Like Sarah is here 7:30 every single Sunday morning, and she's learning to do sound. You know why she's learning to do sound? We didn't have a sound person. And so she's been learning and learning and thinking, and she's, how can I serve and benefit the church? She's here on 7:30. If we need somebody to teach kids, she's teaching kids. If we need somebody to do hospitality, she's doing hospitality. And she's a nine, right? She's an all-star in this church. And there are many of you that are like that. Every time the doors are open, yeah, come on. I'll tell you, there are many of you that are like that. Every time the doors are open, you're here. And you're praying for this church, you're praying for the pastors, you're contributing, you've got four different ways that you're contributing and serving this church. You're moving forward, man, you've got a bumper sticker of Gateway on your car, and we don't even have those. And we won't either, because I've seen some of you drive. In fact, I heard a story about that a pastor was telling me, and he said that he was pulling out of a parking lot, and he cut a guy off. He knew it, and he just kind of waves his hand. It's like, sorry, my fault. But the guy behind him, like, he just wouldn't let it go. He was just laying on the horn and tailgating him and yelling, and he pulled around, and he flipped this pastor off, and as the car pulls around, he's got the church bumper sticker on his car. And now the pastor's mad. You're like, you got to be kidding me. You've got my church bumper sticker on you. And so now the pastor's speeding up and trying to catch up with them. And they get to a red light, and he rolls down his window, and he's like, hey, you've got the church bumper sticker on your car. What's going on? And the guy said, yeah, well, what about it? And he said, I'm the pastor of that church. And the guy said, it's my wife's car. So we're not having bumper stickers, but if we had one, that's the type of person you would be. You'd have one. And so the question that I'm asking all of us to consider is in light of this season of your life, this is not me saying you need to step up. This is in light of God's calling on every single one of us to contribute. What is Jesus asking you? How is he leading you to serve your community? How is he leading you to meet your neighbors and to bless them? Your coworkers, how is he calling you to plot their goodness? And how is he calling you to serve his church? Let me just offer a few simple points. These are not mind-blowing points, just simple points that I think will help stir us up to a greater understanding. Here's the first one is that the truth is that God calls you to serve his church. That's the truth. Is that if you're a follower of Jesus, that God is calling you to serve his church. That if you're a follower of Jesus, that means the Holy Spirit indwells you and his gift activated things in you for the purpose of serving his church. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now catch this. To prepare God's people for works of service. Not to do all of the work, but to prepare God's people for works of service. And here's the purpose of it. So that the body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ cannot be built up without the people of Christ using their gifts. Let me give you another example. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And so the Apostle Paul, writing to this church in Rome, he lists seven different things here. He says, some of you, you're gifted with the gift of prophecy. Male, female, doesn't matter. You've been given these gifts. Some of you have been given the gift of serving or teaching or encouraging or giving or leading or kindness, all of these different things. And the design is that God has given these things to you so that you can serve his church. Now, you may not know exactly or particularly how you're gifted. And I think a lot of times people look at these gift lists in the scriptures, and there's several different examples of these, but they look at these gift lists and they get confused and they're like, well, what gift do I have? It's like they're taking a Myers-Briggs test and like, well, what's my personality or an Enneagram or a Strength Finders? And like, I just don't understand what's my gift. See, this is not intended to give us a list so that we can take a test and find it out, but to show us that every single person that is a follower of Jesus has been equipped with gifts to serve his church. Some of you, and I've seen this, that you're out in the courtyard and after everybody's done with hospitality, you're tearing things down or you're taking the trash out and nobody's even asked you. You love those behind the scenes kind of things and you've got the gift of service and God is calling you to use it. Some of you, you're constantly encouraging other people and you're putting your arm around them and you're saying, man, I see this in your life and you're speaking life into them and God is calling you to use that gift in his church. Some of you, you love to give. You've experienced the blessing of generosity in your own life, and God is calling you to lead the way in that. Some of you, you can organize, and you see details, and you can figure out how things are supposed to run, and you've just got this organizational talent, and God is calling you to use that. Others of you, God is equipped with the gift of leadership and people are following you and you've got sway in people's life and God is calling you to use that in the church. Some of you, you're able to see when things are wrong or unjust and you've got no problem speaking out against you. That's the gift of prophecy and God is calling you to use that. Some of you, you invite and you include, and all of us are called to do that, but you're the type of person, like you get on an hour plane ride and you're leading somebody to Jesus. You've got the gift of evangelism, and God is calling you to use that. The truth is that God has given every single one of us gifts and abilities to use within his church. And the truth that we need to drive home is that whatever gift you have, you are called to contribute. You're called to serve Jesus' church. But here's the second thing, and the much broader way that we need to look at this, is that not only is God calling you to serve his church, but God is calling you to serve as his church. That God is calling you to serve as his hands and feet. In other words, that serving is not just something that we do on Sundays. This is the posture of our life. This is how we live our lives. And I think part of the challenge with this is that, again, just in our society, a lot of people don't understand what the church is. What we need to say, and just to make this really clear, is that God never intended the church to be a building. God never intended the church to be a service. In fact, when you read through the New Testament, the only times the word church is used is in reference to people. And what this tells us is that we don't go to church, we are the church, and we exist for the world. That you are the church, and I am the church, and together, as we meet together, we are the church, wherever we're at, serving the world. And so how do we serve the world? How do we serve as Jesus' church? Let me give you a couple examples. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." Let me say that one more time. That let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. What that means is that the way that you live your life is arousing some kind of curiosity in the people that you're around that say, "Wow, God is good." That the way that we live our life in our neighborhoods and in our workplace and whatever sphere of influence that we have, the way that we live our life, that the light of God's grace is so bright in our lives and the way that we're interacting with people, that they look at us and say, "Your God must be good. Your God is real." Let me give you another one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, we've talked about this verse several times over the course of the year, but one thing that we haven't talked about is the Apostle Paul, who's writing this, when he talks about good works, has in mind the Jewish Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, it references things like caring for the orphan and for the poor and for the foreigner and for the widow. That God has in mind very specific things that we are called to do, things that when we do these things arouse the curiosity of the watching world. Let me give you one more, Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Paul teaches us that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people of his own. Listen to this last part. Eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. And I just wonder, what would it look like for the followers of Jesus to constantly be busy thinking up creative ways to do good to people? What would it look like for the church of Jesus to be conspiring good in our workplaces, to be conspiring for good in our neighborhoods, to be constantly thinking up ways, man, how can I bless these people? Where you show up to work 15 minutes early just for the purpose of what can I do good to my coworkers today? where you're walking around your neighborhood and you're thinking, man, how can I bless this elderly neighbor? How can I bless this single mom? Where you're constantly conspiring good in the places that you're at. That is, what would it look like for us as people of Jesus to be doing these things? Is that truth is that across the board in the United States, churches are dying today because they're not doing anything in which the watching world is saying, man, your God must be real. They're not doing anything in which the watching world is saying, man, your God must be good. There's evidence of God's goodness. Because when the church forgets that it exists for others and for God, when the church forgets about that, man, we may have a religious veneer where we go through the motions, but there's no life. We may go through the motions. We may even show up at church. We may even show up at growth group. And we go through the motions, but there's no life. There's no evidence of the power of the Spirit of God in our midst. Nothing in which the world would watch and say, your God must be good and he must be real. But I'll tell you what, Gateway, this is not our future. That we are a people that serve God and we serve people. That we are not consumers, but we are contributors. That we understand what Jesus is calling us to, and so that we are going to move forward in that. And so here's what I'm going to ask everybody to do. That if you consider Gateway Church your home church, that if this is your family, I'm asking everybody to do this. Everybody has a card on your seat. It's called a Find Your Fit card. Man, Pastor Jake did such a good job designing those. And I'm asking you just to look over this. And in light of this season, what is Jesus asking you? How is he calling you to contribute? You may look at this and say, Jesus is calling me just to rest and to be. That's fine. What is Jesus asking you to do? For some of you, God, Jesus is going to lead you to take that next step and to find a ministry that you're consistently serving in. And for some of you, the encouragement is not to overprocess this and think, oh, what ministry should I? You're not giving your life to this for the rest of your life. So just pick one and experiment with it for a couple months. Maybe for some of you, you're going to look at the parking team. You say, you know, I can do that. I can wave. I can smile. But the truth is that you're not just joining the parking team. You're the first and last impression of every single person that comes on the church campus. That somebody may be coming with a bad day, and you're going to wave at them, and you're going to direct them, or you're going to drive them up in the parking lot. You're going to change the beginning of their day so that they can more readily be able to hear the voice of God. For some of you, you're going to look at them and say, you know what? I love kids. I can help kids. But you're not just teaching kids, you're a hero maker. And you're creating the next generation of heroes and discipling and partnering with families and discipling these kids and taking their next steps with Jesus. Man, what you do is so important. And so what I'm asking is everybody look through that. Write something down. Put it in the offering basket and somebody's going to connect with you and help you take your next steps with that. And I'll tell you, man, I've got a vision for this church. That we would not only serve Jesus' church, but we would serve as his church. Amen. In our community, in our neighborhoods, where our neighborhoods would be drastically changed because Jesus placed us there. That our workplaces would be look drastically different because Jesus placed us there. Where our church, it's not 20% of people doing 80% of the work, but where everybody has your ministry. And so if I were to come up to you and say, what's your ministry in the church? You would be able to tell me exactly what you do and how you serve. And where it's no longer the pastor's recruiting people, but you're tapping people on the shoulder and say, hey, why don't you join me in this? Where everybody has a ministry of the church. Why? Because we've seen Jesus and we've been impacted by Jesus and now we serve like Jesus. And so who are we? We're not consumers, we're contributors. That we are the church and we exist for the world. I want to invite everybody to put your stuff aside and I want to pray for us this morning.